I tell you what, we are extremely lucky here in the Panhandle to have minor league baseball here. I don't know if people realize just how great that is, a great experience. I grew up with a double-A team of the Detroit Tigers, and it's just exceptional. Prices are cheap to go see a game. The food is good. It's right on the water, so no matter what time you go, it's got a good wind. And when I was growing up, in a few years, you saw those guys playing on the big club.
Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things about minor league baseball is you get to see the stars before they really become see them as younger players before they actually become the superstars or what have you. So very, very fortunate, as you said, Barry, to have minor league baseball in the area. So there's a few things I want to hit, one of which is some news that came out over the last 24 hours that the Panthers apparently wanted Baker Mayfield, which really isn't too much of a surprise because that was a rumor that was brought up, but they wanted the Browns to pay a majority of Baker's salary. I think the number I saw was between $13 and $14 million of his deal. And then after the Browns did that, then they would go ahead and make that trade. That's something that obviously didn't happen. Is that something you think the Browns missed out on an opportunity for, or do you like the fact that they declined to pay that $13 or $14 million?
Well, when that happened was day two of the draft. Day one came and went as far as the first round. On day two, the Panthers were in talks with the Browns about acquiring Baker Mayfield. And, of course, they got Sam Darnold, and there's a possibility they could still take on another veteran such as Cam Newton. But that was their situation. Well, they did. They wanted them to pay $13 to $14 million. The Browns countered with paying half. He's supposed to make $18.858 million this year, and their counter was to pay half of that and to get a lower round pick, such as a fourth, a fifth, or maybe a couple of picks. And the Panthers stayed on their offer, and the Browns stayed on their offer. So in the end, Carolina took Matt Corral out of Ole Miss, who some people projected in the first round or early second, of course, went in a later round and went day two. But that was the main cog, was they wanted them to pay most of his salary for this year, which, is, by the way, is guaranteed.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a surprise that the Panthers wouldn't take that kind of an offer? I mean, even though, obviously, you know, it's you still have to pay $3 or $4 or $5 million than you would have liked to, but the fact that you don't have to pay all of it is a deal that if you like Baker enough, it is worth paying that $9 million to bring him over. Is that something that you were a little bit surprised that maybe the Panthers didn't jump on that? Or do you think that that's just the way the Baker's market is none of the teams want to trade for him because they're going to have to pay at least half of his salary for this year with no necessarily guaranteed result?
Yeah, well, for a starting caliber quarterback, paying $9 million a year is gold. Absolutely. That's like paying a fourth, fifth rounder to be your backup. I am really surprised that they didn't pull the trigger on that. Now, in the Browns' perspective, that may be a godsend because you're right about Baker's the leverage that the Browns have and the value of Baker has just fallen off the chart. Originally, they wanted a first-round pick for him. Then they dropped that to a second-round pick. Now, it looks like a fifth round and a bag of footballs to get him. But for the Browns, if Deshaun Watson is suspended for, say, six games, eight games, or maybe the entire 2022 season, now they've got Baker Mayfield to fall back on. They signed Jacoby Brissett, who is gone from the Patriots to the Colts to the Dolphins and now is on the Browns as Deshaun's backup because they've got a similar skill set, whereas Baker is a pocket quarterback. And, of course, Deshaun and Brissett are more playmakers and scramblers and actually runners. And so it's a completely different game plan to formulate for a pocket passer, Mayfield, than it is for, say, Deshaun Watson.
I think it makes, and as you said, it could be something that actually pans out to benefit the Browns here in the longer run of things, especially, you know, given the unknowns with Deshaun Watson. So there's been talk that the NFL is looking into the Pro Bowl, maybe some changes, maybe getting rid of the game altogether. The ratings continue to dip. I personally have not watched the Pro Bowl in some time, actually. As I feel like a lot of people, even the ones who enjoy football, have disregarded it as anything serious. Is there anything that you would do, Barry, with the Pro Bowl to make it more entertaining or something that people would actually be willing to spend some time and watch?
Well, you're right about that. I haven't watched it since they left Hawaii. I know players that played in it, say as late as the 1990s, that was a big deal because you could take your family,
yeah.
You could go to Hawaii, you could spend a week there, you could, and it was lackadaisical. It was a fun time. Whereas when you go to a Super Bowl city, or if you're on a college team and you go to a team, or even to Germany or London or whatever and play a game, it's kind of a serious thing, and they really only give you one day to sightsee. But the Pro Bowl, it took you for a whole week, and you got to do stuff. You got to see the island, you got to see the ocean, you got to have a good time. And players would bring other players. Like if you were the Pro Bowl long snapper or kicker or punter, you brought the long snapper with you and their family. But since they moved from Hawaii, I haven't seen it. Now, the main problem with the Pro Bowl is that players hardly play at all. They don't put full effort. And the reason behind that is they don't want to get hurt. And that's very understandable. I mean, anything can happen. It's worse to get something like a sprained ankle or a hamstring. It's something else to tear up a knee or tear up a shoulder or a hand or a groin injury. So it's just gone downhill, and nobody really plays full out. Now, Chad Johnson came up with a solution.
A good one.
Former wide receiver. And he said what they should do is make it a flag football event and have it with current NFL stars against former NFL stars. I think that's a great idea. I think that people would come to see that. Now, there's good and there's bad about that. Some of the bad is with a Pro Bowl game, you've got two complete rosters of players. Now, with this format, you pretty much have to select the guys that have made the All-Pro team and not bring a second roster. So you'll have a mix of AFC and NFC together, and have one complete team instead of two complete rosters. The other bad thing is, if you're a former guy, and if you're in your 30s and maybe in your early 40s, I can see you playing. But other than that, they're not going to get guys that are in their 50s and 60s because most of those guys and most of former NFL players have jobs. So nobody wants to come to Orlando, number one, and play in a flag football game and turn an ankle or break an ankle or have a hamstring injury and then have to go to work on Monday.
Right. I think, and I said this earlier this week, that I think a flag football game would be great. Now, I think just doing current players would be fantastic, but you do something similar to a 7-on-7, you do a 50-yard field, and you play, or shoot, you could make it a 100-yard field if you really wanted to, but it's all flag football, where you're really not going to have anybody getting injured. You don't have people not giving a full effort because you don't want to tackle somebody, and it's not a real game. I mean, it's flag football. You just go for the flag. You're not trying to tackle anybody. Nobody really gets hurt from being tackled. I think that'd be something that would be more entertaining, at least, than what they're doing currently right now. And even still, a flag football game obviously is it's not going to draw the appeal as maybe some of the other all-star games do, but it's something that's better than what they're currently doing right now, which I think the NFL is trying to figure out first and foremost.
Yeah, and there's a second idea is that somebody came up with this, I don't remember who, was just to have a skills competition. Now, in the past, they've had the week leading up or even the Saturday before the Sunday game, they would have a skills competition where quarterbacks would throw and people would run and have catches. And I've seen some of those older skills competitions, say when Joe Montana played and Dan Marino, where they would have targets that moved and you get points for however many that you made. And that may be a good thing, but like anything else, you take Major League Baseball with the home run competition. Yes, people will come out to see that, but I don't know if that's the main event. NBA has the dunk contest and three-point contest. Yes, those are great to see the day before, but it's not the main event. And I don't think a skills competition would be viewed by anybody as paying a ticket, traveling, or going to see something like that as just the main attraction.
It's just different than anything else, like as far as festivities go. I mean, we don't see All-Star games at the end of the year. We see them during the middle of the season. It's just something different that the NFL, if they can do what they can to make it more entertaining, I think that's the best that they can do. I don't know if it's going to get any better, but I don't know if it can get much worse, I guess, from a rating standpoint, especially than what it is right now. I want to ask you, Barry, about, I don't know if you saw this, but the NFL, there's a streaming service that could be coming out called NFL Plus, similar to Disney Plus, Paramount Plus. It's planned, at least according to the report, to come out sometime in July. It is a service that is based around games, so it's all in market, out of market. Like, I wouldn't be able to get this service here in Pensacola and watch Bengals games, but I could watch Saints games and some of the other teams that are in the market. And then they've got other team-related content that apparently would be on this app, maybe including podcasts. I'm sure that maybe even Dogs by Nature, if you're in the Cleveland market, you'd be able to access some posts that are made by maybe yourself or anybody else involved in Dogs by Nature. But it's a streaming service that's trying to get the NFL involved more, I think, with the fans than what they typically have done up to this point. Do you like the idea of this? Do you think that maybe they could go a little bit further and try to do something like NFL Sunday Ticket, where you pay more than, and the service fee, by the way, is $5 per month? Is there something they could do maybe that's a little bit more expensive per month that could get fans more exclusive content like documentaries or something like that that is based around the NFL fan?
Yeah, and the NFL has already approved it. They're planning on launching this in July. It was approved during the owners' week meetings during the week in Atlanta, and it would allow users to stream live games on mobile devices, like you said, for a low cost. And though other content may be available with the service, I think what you're paying is to watch the games in your market. Now, a negative of that is if you don't have enough streaming, like a tablet or whatever, or a PC. But if you want to watch it on the big screen at home, it does not allow that. So it's great to watch it on your phone if you're traveling from point A to point B. But if you got people coming over and you're having a party and you're drinking beer and watching the game, or going to a sports bar, you want to view it not only on the big screen, but the biggest screen possible. So I guess it would be good for people that can't or won't watch the game at a sports bar at home and doesn't want to watch it on the big screen. I think such a product is not entirely new for NFL fans. I mean, the NFL's had deals with Yahoo and Verizon to stream live in-market games, but with those contracts now expired, I think the league is going forward with their own product for the time being.
Right, and so I looked up the Sunday Ticket prices yesterday, and about per month for if you're looking for a $300 service per year, it's about $25-ish a month. It came up to something a little bit more than $25, I think, a month. If you are the NFL, I feel like this is where you could really attack the streaming stuff, where watching the live games is great in market, and I understand why you would do that, but I think that if you had something like exclusive documentaries, kind of like what ESPN Plus is doing, but you make it directly for the NFL, maybe team-related things that content creators for each team, and there's tons of people involved in social media teams with all the different franchises, exclusive content, podcasts, and everything go on this app. And then for if you want to do a single team, you could pay maybe $15 a month or $10 a month for this app. If you wanted to do a specific division, maybe you do more. If you wanted to do the whole league, maybe you pay $30 a month. So there's tiers to it, but also you allow for more fan engagement outside of just watching the games, which, depending on what service you have, you may already be able to do that anyways.
Yeah, and the NFL is still looking for new media partners, such as maybe Apple, maybe Amazon, to be included in the NFL Plus, and maybe that could be folded into the same package. But my concerns is I'm not really sure how many people want to watch a game that's got 22 players on a field on a little bitty screen. It just doesn't
seem $4 or $5 a month, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've watched soccer games on a smartphone. I've watched college football games on a smartphone. And after a while, you just kind of lose interest in it. I can't imagine watching hockey. As small as the puck is, it's hard to see it on a big screen anyway. I just don't know how many people are going to be satisfied. I think that is going to be basically for people that don't have cable, that don't want to go to a sports bar, or you're traveling, you're going from here to Atlanta, the game's on, you want to catch it. It's kind of the equivalent of listening to it on the radio when I was a kid. That's what you did, is you listened to games, baseball games and football games and college games on the radio. But watching it on a small screen, I personally won't be a fan of that.
Yeah, I think it's something that it's kind of advancing things based on where they're at right now. But I'm with you. I think that people would rather watch it on a big screen, especially when you don't have that capability. It'll be interesting to see the response of it and where they plan to grow it in the future, if at all. Speaking with Barry Shuck of Dogs by Nature, Barry, do you have an idiom for us today?
Yeah, I do. Did you also notice that Colin Kaepernick?
Oh yes, I have that down. I forgot to ask you about that. Do you think he legitimately has a chance to make the Raiders roster? Apparently, the Raiders were impressed by his workout.
You know, that's hard to say. What is he like? 38?
No, he's 34.
How old is?
Not quite
he's
that
34.
Old yet.
Well,
still.
You know, I guess with quarterbacks, with the rules today, You know, it used to be you could knock a quarterback around and just kind of, be dumping on him and killing him, but not anymore. So it's very possible that a quarterback, well, look at Brady, look at Breeze, look at Aaron Rodgers, so they can continue on with that. But, you know, it depends on, you know, when he left, he left as a starting quarterback at the 49ers. Yeah, they had an offer on the table. He didn't take it. He wanted to see his options. And, of course, then it kind of just fell apart on him. But it'd just be interesting to see if – and even if he did get a job or a position, you know, he would come in as the backup. And, you know, you need a dependable backup. So we'll just see.
Yeah, I think – when right now, again, they got Stidham. They've got Nick Mullins. Maybe Kaepernick is that guy who can be a backup quarterback. But again, as far as him being a starter, I don't know if that should be the expectation for anybody, given how long he's been out of the league and all that. It would be interesting to see him back in the NFL, and it is the Raiders' MO in a way to be a little bit different than other franchises. And while Kaepernick has not been looked at all over the last 5 years, the Raiders, it makes sense that they would be the team that would look into him. And hopefully, I think it would be cool to see Colin Kaepernick back. And given the way that things have changed in the NFL, given, you know, the social posting and all the stuff to deal with racism and all of that, I think that that having Colin Kaepernick back is absolutely no problem. As a matter of fact, he probably should have been back as far as I'm concerned. But I may not be in the majority with that opinion.
Yeah. Okay, here's my idiom.
Sure.
I played high school football, and I was on all special teams. I was started the middle linebacker, and back then we didn't have a lot of words for things that happened, like the word pancake wasn't invented and a lot of things. And when I was on a punt team, I was on the interior and went down to make tackles. But we had guys that played out wide. Today they're called gunners. But when I played high school, they weren't called anything. You just, they were just split wide, and you send a guy down, and you put a defender in front of him or two, and you tried to block him out because they were the ones down. But a gunner is part of football now. Now, that position is only on a punt. Two players on the punt team are allowed to start downfield wide of the punt formation team before the ball is kicked. Everybody else has to wait so many Mississippis, you might say. And that's what these players are called, gunners. And usually most teams place two players on the gunners to stop them from flying downfield to make the tackle. Now, each gunner has two aspects, speed and excellent tackling abilities. How this got coined was there was a Pro Bowl special teams player for the New England Patriots by the name of Matthew Slater, and he coined this because he said part of his duty was to gun down the punt returner.
There you go. That is, again, fantastic. It seems like the simplest things, and you can almost put two and two together, but the fact that, you know, not many people have thought about it as to why the positions are called what they are, I think it's fascinating. But do you think it would have, do you think you would have liked being called a gunner back when you were playing, as opposed to what it was?
I don't know. You have to be able to fly downfield. And I played as a middle linebacker. You know, you had some speed, but you didn't have great speed like a cornerback or a receiver.
Sure.
And I played like guard or tackle on punt team, and your job was just to go down there and make a tackle or, you know, absorb a block or whatever. So I don't know. I enjoyed kickoff team because you could just fly down there and hit somebody, and that's what you did, and you got all warmed up on that. That was fun. And punt team was fun too, but I don't know. You got to be able to tackle well and not be fooled.
Right. Well, hey, Barry, we are up against a break now. I appreciate the time, as always. You have a good rest of your week and weekend. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.